Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you people, and good evening. This is Tuesday, July 4th, and this is the PW Torch Livecast post-game show following 4th of July WWE SmackDown on the USA Network. Just finishing typing up the report, but here's what happened. We had the Independence Day Battle Royal, and just went off the air. AJ Styles eliminated Sami Zayn for the finish. Battle Royal went about 9 minutes, and yes, AJ Styles is going to Battleground, where he will face Owens for the United States title. Owens was on commentary. He attacked Styles after the match, but Styles ran him off, and it turns out Kevin Owens left the belt behind. John Cena made his return tonight in the opening segment and called out the entire SmackDown roster, said he was going to be on Raw and SmackDown for the foreseeable future, and he was answered by the returning Rusev. Rusev said that John Cena got 2 months of ads for his comeback, but nothing happened when Rusev was ready to come back. So the bottom line is it's going to be Cena and Rusev in a flag match coming up July 23rd at Battleground. Also tonight, Naomi defeats Lana in the rematch for the women's title, the third and final match, in about 10 seconds with a submission hold, and thank goodness that's over. Daniel Bryan, as a result of James Ellsworth interfering again last week, Ellsworth is barred from the arena, fined $10,000, and suspended for 30 days without pay, which pleased the crowd a great deal. Also, there was a match between AJ Styles and Chad Gable for the final spot in the Battle Royal. Styles won in 8 minutes and 15 seconds, and yeah, it was really, really good. And let's see what else we had. Oh, yes, we had the battle rap. Wally was the battle rap host. There were a couple of good insults. Otherwise, this was painful to watch, and The New Day won by disqualification when the Usos got so mad about something that New Day said that they attacked. And apparently that's a disqualification in a rap battle, actually attacking your opponents. I don't know. The number is 515-605-9345. I didn't even check to see what we have going on here. Actually, let me go ahead and check on the 585 area code. 585, is this Mr. Greg Parks?
It is Mr. Greg Parks. Thanks, Pat.
How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well. Good to be back in the saddle with you.
Absolutely. What did you think about tonight's SmackDown?
There were some positive parts. I think you hit on the AJ Styles, Chad Gable match that was really good. You had a sort of an up and down rap battle, I guess, between the Usos and the New Day. In the pantheon of rap battles that have taken place within WWE, however, this rates pretty highly, I suppose. I think with the with the John Cena Rusev stuff, and I know it's Independence Day here in America, and I know that's the card they're going to play on this night, but you know, you've got Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton for the WWE title on SmackDown sort of playing that USA card, and then you had Rusev and John Cena doing the same thing in the opening segment. So, newsworthy, yes, yeah. John Cena returned, Rusev returned, but it felt kind of like a little too similar to what we're seeing with Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton.
Yeah, that's a good point. I did forget that Aiden English defeated Randy Orton by disqualification earlier on the show, and that didn't seem to matter because it brought out Jinder Mahal, who doesn't like America for some reason. Go figure.
Imagine that.
yeah, but that's the way it is. 515-605-9345. I still have to finish typing this thing up for Mr. Keller and for the PW Torch website. Yeah, we're going to be very busy this Sunday, Greg, and I expect you'll be by for this. We're going to have the Great Balls of Fire post-game show, so we expect you here. Tomorrow, Wade Keller and Jason Powell will be by to talk about what happened over the past few days on the flagship Wednesday edition of the live cast. I'll tell you what, we'll be back and we're going to take more of your calls following this timeout, so don't go anywhere.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
All right, we're back on the PW Torch Livecast here on PWTorchLivecast.com. The number is 515-605-9345. Torch columnist Pat McNeil filling in for Wade Keller. Torch columnist Greg Parks, who's here an awful lot on Tuesday night, is just doing his normal thing. We're going to go to the phones following what could definitely be called an episode of SmackDown. Not a bad episode, Greg, because, you know, a bad two hours of SmackDown is usually better than a good 3 hours and 15 minutes of Raw. But I suspect we should kick things off in the 862 area code. That's okay. Here we go. 862, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Hello.
Wow. Kylan from North New Jersey.
How you doing, Kylan?
I'm very well, Pat. How are you and Greg doing this week?
We're okay. Where do you come down on tonight's show?
C-.
C-? Okay. What was? Give me a positive about this.
AJ Styles winning the Independence Day Battle Royal was a positive.
That's a good positive. Yes. Okay. And what did you really, really, really not like?
Let's see. The rap battle. The fact that Lana received a leather title shot for some ungodly reason.
Okay, well that match only lasted 10 seconds. I was willing to cut them some slack on it, but okay.
And Randy Orton losing to Aiden English.
All right. Well, I guess those are valid points. Anything else that struck your interest?
John Cena cut one of his best promos tonight.
He did seem, I got to agree with Greg, he did seem very excited to be back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think after he's been away for a while, he comes back a little more energized. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen that, whether it's coming back from injury, whether it's coming back from filming a movie or a television show. Cena usually comes back full of fire in his belly, and he certainly did here. You kind of wish that he had a little meatier promo to cut, aside from the usual rah-rah, go USA stuff, which again, you know, Independence Day here, that's kind of what we expected. But, you know, he did really get into it when he was talking about being a free agent, and it does appear that he's going to be on SmackDown and Raw by what he said in his promo tonight. He is going to be a true free agent, and he's going to be on both shows going forward, so... that's certainly something to look for, and it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out for the off-brand pay-per-views. You know, is he going to be doing double duty each month on pay-per-views too, or is it, you know, is he going to be on the SmackDown pay-per-views, but he'll be on Raw and SmackDown TVs? How does that shake out in the storylines and everything. So, you know, some big news. I don't think it's anything we didn't already expect, but it was confirmed tonight by Cena that he basically is going to be a true free agent.
Yep. Well, that's...
That's going to be interesting to see how that's going to go.
Well, you know, I hope it goes well, but you never know. I mean, this is WWE, and a lot depends on what they have for him on the different shows. If you're gonna have John Cena working the Raw pay per views, you're gonna have to have him feuding with somebody different than who he's feuding from the SmackDown pay per views.
Yeah, and that's where it gets tricky. That's why I'm kind of interested to see how they're gonna keep all that straight.
Yeah. I think so. Okay, Kylan, listen, well, thank you very much for checking in with us, and hopefully we'll hear from you later in the week.
You certainly will.
Okay. All right, 515-605-9345. Kylan drops off,
Bye-bye. And
that
Bye-bye.
Opens up the line for you. Let's go ahead, and I'm told we have somebody. Okay, I've got emailed that we have somebody who was actually in attendance here tonight in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't see a number though, so this is going to be okay. Well, he said he's not calling in until after 205 live. 205 live is on, and who is it? Looks like Neville is fighting Lince Dorado, and what I'm guessing is a rematch of their classic a couple weeks ago. Greg.
Yeah, sounds like something we'll have to catch up on after the show.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's see who's next here. As the adventure rolls on, we're going to go to, I believe this is Durrell from Georgia. Durrell, you're on the live cast. Hello.
How you doing today, Pat? How you doing today, Greg?
We're okay.
Okay. Tonight
what,
was a...
What did you think
okay,
of, what did you think of SmackDown? Yeah. Yeah?
It's okay. I like John Cena's promo. I like the two different segments of AJ Styles. I love the match with him and Gable. So those are the things that I like.
Okay.
The one thing that I wanted
that
to ask you guys about and question is about Carmella and them taking away, I think, one of her biggest heaters of way she get heat is Ellsworth. Do you think that was a mistake since when she get in the ring, it kind of kills her credibility, what she does on the mic?
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, I mean, yeah, they said, Greg, that if Ellsworth, you know, tries to actually show up or violates any part of the suspension, that Carmella loses the Money in the Bank briefcase. So it looks like we're going to get 4 weeks either Carmella out there without Ellsworth or 4 weeks where Carmella is not focused on at all.
Yeah, I think we can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it the way Durrell's looking at it and say, well, you know, James Ellsworth went a long way into getting Carmella the heel heat that she'd so lacked before they paired up, and she's going to be kind of on an island out on her own now for the next month. But I think the other way you can look at it is it's sort of another twist in the Carmella character here. She's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. I think that and the way she won it and how she's really done a great job on the mic the last few weeks, I think that's going to keep her heat even without Ellsworth there to get it for her. So I think this is a chance for Carmella to kind of take the next step in her character evolution, take the next step in the storyline, not having Ellsworth there, not having that person that she relied on to do a lot for her. And I'm interested to see how WWE books that and, you know, if they do book it where Carmella realizes just how much she's utilized James Ellsworth over the last several months.
Okay. That's a possibility. The other one is that she could end up trying to find another, enhancement performer to fill in for Ellsworth with probably predictably hilarious results.
And then Ellsworth gets jealous, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of different ways they could go with it. And actually, you'd think that now that Naomi and Lana's feud is done, that we might it wouldn't be a good time to cool off Carmella. Although something else we did see that I haven't pointed out, Greg, after Lana lost, Tamina came out and sort of collected Lana and took her backstage, and Lana looked scared of Tamina, which I guess would be normal. Are we going to see some such type of storyline with them?
Well, when Lana was wrestling on the house shows, the NXT house shows, and getting ready for her, I guess, main roster re-debut as a wrestler, she did have some muscle in the form of another female wrestler outside the ring for her. So it appears that they're sort of taking that, what they did on those NXT, the Florida loop of the house shows, and transferring it to WWE TV. Look, Tamina's not probably going to get over as a wrestler in this day and age, mm-hmm. in this environment, when you have the Becky Lynch's and the Natalia's and even the Naomi's to a bit of a lesser extent, who can all really bring it in the ring. And Tamina's she just hasn't developed that far. So to use her as muscle for one of the other female competitors, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's probably really her best role at this point.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. What else do we have? What else, Darrell?
That's about it. I just wanted to see what y'all guys thought about that, because right now, Naomi hasn't had a match really to go with her title reign that could really define her or just showcase what she can really do or something like that. So feuding with Lana, then going through Carmella without Carmella having a heater in her deficiencies in the ring, I was asking. That's why I asked that question. So that's it for me.
No, it's a very good question. Thank you, Darrell. Okay, Darrell drops off that up the line for you, 515-605-9345. Let's see if we can... I'm going to take a question from email. This one is from Jack, and Jack asks, Pat, I know this is the SmackDown podcast. I want to get your feelings on Rollins' promo last night with Curt Hawkins. I felt like he was ripping off Chris Jericho. He told Kurt to shut the hell up and talked about saving people, man. Let's see. Just to tie this in nicely to SmackDown, do you think Rollins moving to SmackDown would freshen up his act where he could be a top full-time face? I doubt that's in the cards. I think Rollins is somebody that they want to keep on Raw for his name value. To be honest, I only saw highlights of last night's Raw. I actually did DVR it on this wonderful PlayStation View thing, and when I went back to watch it, there was a 30-second clip of playing house over and over and over again. So, I'm sorry about that. Greg, what did you think of Seth's promo last night?
Well, I didn't make the connection between Rollins and Jericho. I just think the Rollins Bray Wyatt match that we're going to see on Sunday, it's really a tough spot for both guys because they've both cooled off tremendously. Rollins, I think, is in a little better position right now than Wyatt because his babyface steam has picked up a little bit more over the last few months. When he first turned, he was pretty cold. But, neither of these guys, and there's not much to the storyline, really. So,
yeah.
Rollins doing what he can on the mic to kind of get fans interested, and then that's... cribbing from Jericho's shtick, I guess that's probably not on purpose doing it, but I mean it's effective. Jericho doesn't; it's worked for him for years, so why not Rollins? I guess, but yeah, both of those guys are in a tough situation because that just feels like such an afterthought of a match coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, that's sad, but it's true. There hasn't been a lot of reason to take this match, a good match, yeah, maybe, two well-known former champions, yes, but there's nothing that's made this special so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an issue.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, we're going to take a brief timeout. When we come back, more of your calls, more of your emails, and if you're in the chat room, go ahead and say hi and ask your questions, 515-605-9345, back after this timeout.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
And we're back with more of the PW Torch Livecast SmackDown postgame show here on, well, pwtorchlivecast.com. Don't forget, 13 days from today, July the 17th, the Wade Keller Show debuts on the Podcast One Radio Network, so be sure to sign up for that. And I don't know if Greg's been told this, but not only are we going to do the post-game shows for all the pay-per-views still right here on pwtorchlivecast.com, but it looks like we're going to be, at least I'm going to be hosting every Sunday with, and if we're not talking about the pay-per-view that's happening that night, we're going to be talking about something else, and you're welcome to join me for that.
Fantastic news. I'd love to be with you.
Well, don't answer now. We'll get to that in the next few days. But right now let's go back to the phones, and I'm told that we have Jordan from New Rochelle standing by on the line. Jordan, you're on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I thought this if I'd give this show a letter grade, I'd probably give it a C. And just because it's just the rap battle was good with New Day and the Usos, but it was kind of nothing really jumped out to me. The Gable and AJ Styles match was good, but, and this leads into my question, do you think SmackDown Live has utilized its talents? Because I know Wade, he constantly says, all Ty Dillinger is a chant. Well, if all he is a chant, then utilize it before it gets stale and old. So I thought he should have won this Battle Royal, because if it's all he is a chant and yes, he's serviceable in the ring, then why don't you pull the trigger on him quickly and maybe have him pull an upset, and then the next night you have Kevin Owens take the belt back. I mean, I feel like if we wait too long, like, he's gonna just get too stale and no one's gonna like him anymore. Do you think SmackDown could utilize its talents like Dillinger and Chad Gable a little bit more?
That's a good point. I mean, I think tonight's the most over Gable's been in a while, and he got to show some of what he could do against AJ Styles. And I think they gave Ty Dillinger a lot to do, Greg. I mean, he was in the Battle Royal until he was he was in the final three in the Battle Royal and almost got to eliminate Sami Zayn. And he got interviewed by Tyler Breeze's alter ego, backstage blonde interviewer Tanae Young, which was, Renee Young seemed to think it was funny, but I don't know how the rest of the, I don't know what the rest of the audience thought.
Yeah, I mean, that was funny.
Yeah, they continue to do a good job, the Fashion Police, and WWE's done a nice job with, overall, getting them over. And I mean, as a comedy team, they're over, and I think that's huge for them, and they deserve the opportunity to be able to shine. I think the problem with having Ty Dillinger win the Battle Royal is, you've got Ty Dillinger versus Kevin Owens at Battleground, then what do you do with AJ Styles? And, you could stick him in just an inconsequential Battleground match against, a Baron Corbin type or a Sami Zayn type. But clearly they use this Battle Royal to continue to the AJ Styles Kevin Owens story. You know, we got one pay-per-view match off of that, and I think a lot of fans would be excited to see more, because Styles and Owens are very good and they're very popular. So that being said, it would be nice if they found something worthwhile for Ty Dillinger to do, but the story here is Styles and Owens and continuing that feud, and in that vein I thought the finish made sense.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you don't have to do Ty Dillinger and Kevin Owens tonight or even next week. This could wait until after the pay-per-view. and they could do a quick switch with him. I don't know that I don't know that Ty Dillinger wins the U.S. title. I just think there's enough going on with SmackDown that you could use a guy who's treated as, you know, who's treated as a mid-card act who has the ability to rise up and fight the top guys every once in a while.
Yeah, sure, I agree. But, I mean, you know, like I said, the Styles-Owens thing is their priority right now, and I get it. Styles is a top guy. Owens is a top guy. Dillinger's just not there. You know, he's not going to get priority booking over those guys when they see Styles as Owens as the direction they want to go for the United States title right now.
Right, and I mean, you know, Gable's a young guy. He's going to be around for a while. We're nearing the we're in the back half, maybe the back third of AJ Styles' career as a, you know, as a full time wrestler, and Owens has been, you know, Owens is in his 30s now. So I don't know. I mean, I think we'll I think they take Dillinger seriously. I just don't think that they, you know, I think, yeah, you know, they can't use everybody to their potential right now, because they have too deep of a roster to do that. So this is what you get. Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts, Jordan?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick point that I noticed. I guess you could call this a prediction, but when they had the scene with Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder, it was like when he was talking about them losing the previous week, and he was like, oh, the Hypro is losing. He said, I think, something like, the Hypro is losing, that's done for. And Mojo Rawley kind of was looking all serious, and he's like, yeah, that's all over. Like, kind of, like, angry. Like, I don't know if this is just me, but it looked like there's a possible feud coming. I know he did throw him over the top rope today, but I think it'd be a smart prediction to say maybe SummerSlam we see Zack Ryder versus Mojo Rawley. And they can, like, build it up and bring Gronk in, because you know how Vince loves his celebrities at big pay-per-view. So do you think we could possibly see at SummerSlam Zack Ryder versus Mojo Rawley, and maybe in the background it's Big Gronk in his corner?
Well, I would have to look and see where Gronk will be in the middle of you know, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be
training camp
a couple weeks
then.
Before the season.
Yeah,
and training
camp.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be able to use Gronk, but I mean, I think we've talked about this. Various people have talked about this in the live cast, and the expectation is that, you know, Ryder is going to turn on Mojo at some point. And I think the reason we think that is because, you know, Gronkowski can't be the bad guy. But what do you think, Greg? What if Mojo Rawley's
a football fan?
I know, but Triple H and Stephanie love the Patriots, so that's not going to happen. Well, what do you think, Greg? Do you think Mojo Rawley turning on Zack Ryder would work?
I think it could, and I think it's Rob Naylor on Twitter, who used to work backstage at NXT. He's been the one who said, man, if you could see those Mojo Rawley heel promos that he cut, not for television, but just in promo class. I mean, he brings it up every once in a while, and how effective and how just awesome they were. So, you know, Mojo Rawley, I think there's some heel potential there with him. You also have to consider, you know, Chad Gable has now gone solo the last 2 weeks. And, you know, with American Alpha basically being MIA for the last month or two, there was some question tonight on Twitter during the show if Gable and Jordan are going to be in it for the long term. So I don't think they're going to break up two of their tag teams just because they're so thin in those ranks. And if they do break up Rawley and Ryder, I think American Alpha are probably safe for the time being. But you've got two tag teams now on SmackDown who are sort of in tenuous spots.
Yeah, I mean, I did. Jason Jordan was in the Battle Royal, and he was wearing an outfit that matched Chad Gable's out. So, you know, I mean, he's not dead. He's evidently still able to wrestle. And, you know, speaking of untapped potential, I think Jason Jordan has that. So, yeah, I mean, that's I mean, they might need to shake up the tag team ranks. They will if they want Aiden English around, they'll probably have to find, you know, I'm guessing they'll find somebody for him to team with, but. Maybe, you know, maybe there's the only thing I think of with Aiden English is that they're setting up for him to fight Curt Hawkins at WrestleMania.
I don't know if whatever, you know, I don't know if New Orleans can hold that kind of superstar power in one match.
I think that after the Rumble, they should build to that like they're building to R-Truth and Goldust over on Raw. Yeah. They cut promos on each other each week. I think there's money in that. Yes. Okay, Jordan, anything else?
No, thanks for taking my call, and have a great show. And also, before I go, quick prediction. Cena, unfortunately, buries Rusev at Battleground. Unfortunately.
Okay, that could happen, but if they want to keep it going to SummerSlam, then you would probably not do that. Although I don't know. I mean, they could do Cena and Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. Yeah, I'm not crazy about either one. Thanks, Jordan. All right, 515-605-9345. That's how you reach us. Let's see if we can hammer one more in before the break. We're going to go to DJ from Miami, 305 area code. DJ, you're on the live cast.
Hey, guys, what's up?
The usual. How you doing, man? Happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you guys. I got two things. My first thing is that, like you guys are saying, I wasn't pleased that it was Cena and Rusev. Like, you know, that I think that Cena's coming back. He should be, you know, first time come back at the 4th. You know, I think he should have went out there at least, you know, the guy with the briefcase or something, because it's done and over with. Like, it's been buried for a while, and nobody wants to see that, you know. Corbin is the man. He won the suitcase, so it's like, let him see and talk. If they don't get it on until later on, but what? You know what I mean? That's my first thing. I just don't understand why, of all people, Rusev.
Well, I think this is being done more for Rusev's sake than for Cena's sake, Greg. I mean, I think this puts Rusev right back in the mix.
Sure, it certainly does. When you're facing John Cena, you're most certainly back in the mix in some form or fashion. And you know, they've been plugging his return, contrary to what he said tonight in his promo. You know, he got a few promos before the Money in the Bank pay-per-view about him coming back, and they sort of dropped that angle. So for him to come back and face John Cena, yes, it's something we've seen before. It's been a while since we've seen it, so it doesn't feel like too much of a retread. But, yeah, I think what's more interesting than Rusev going against John Cena here is where Rusev goes from there and where he fits in on the SmackDown side, because we've not really seen him. I believe he was part of the Superstar Shakeup that sent him to SmackDown, and we haven't seen him on SmackDown. He's been out with injuries. So where he slots in, I mean, I see him kind of at a Baron Corbin level, maybe a little lower, with Corbin taking that high mid-level heel spot, plus he's got the briefcase. So that's kind of what I'm going to be looking for after the Cena feud.
Yeah, and they're setting up. I mean, it looks like Nakamura and Baron Corbin's going to go on for a few months. I mean, I think that's the real issue here, DJ.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I was just curious because, you know, it was a holiday. And my other, let me ask you another.
No.
Okay, and then my second thing was the cage match. Do you guys think it's going to get dirty and you know, color like the old ones, or do you think they're going to keep it super, super clean? Because those matches really get really bloody. I mean, what do you think? Because, you know,
the Punjabi prison.
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about? Yeah. Well, it does sound like you could get blood, Greg, because as JBL said, this is bamboo reinforced with steel.
Nothing more frightening in professional wrestling or sports entertainment than those words. I think there's a possibility. There was part of me, though, that was watching Randy Orton beat up Aiden English outside the ring, throwing him into the announce desk using the steel chairs, and thinking, I think this match may be more physical than the match we see, the actual Punjabi prison match at the pay-per-view. And WWE... lately, they've tended to play those types of matches where you expect this extreme violence. They tend to play it a little safer than normal. Now, because this is a main event match, because this is a stipulation match that they have not used in a long time, will they break out and allow blood, or will they still continue to keep it safe? I always err on the side of them playing it safe these days, but... You know, I think there's a possibility that they could get a little more extreme than usual.
Well, that's what
I
want.
I mean, you know. Yeah. Well, I mean, DJ makes a good point, because the last time they did this was 8 or 9 years ago, and they weren't PG at the time. So, yeah, I mean, I wonder what they will do to – I'm guessing they don't want blood, although I don't know what the Athletic Commission rules are and where they're going to be in Texas. They can probably have blood, but they don't like to have blood. It frightens the sponsors. So, well, they're going to be in Philadelphia. Yeah, they can probably bleed there. Okay. We'll see. I mean, that's an interesting consideration, though. I don't think that officially they're not going to want blood. Unofficially, who knows?
After they pump it up so much, it's like, this is the biggest, craziest match of all times. Like, and then not have blood, that's like,
yeah,
that's a huge letdown, you know? I don't like that.
I know what you're saying, DJ, but they pumped up Hell in a Cell that way, and there was no blood on any of the Hell in a Cell matches last year. So
it's just crazy, because it's their network, because, you know, it's made them causeless, you know?
I know, but they're PG. They're family friendly, despite what we heard on the battle rap.
Yeah.
All right, man. Listen.
All right. I guess.
All
right.
Well, take care, DJ.
Sunday. Thank you.
Sunday night.
Sunday.
No problem. Looking forward to it. All right. DJ drops off, and that opens up a line for you. 515-605-9345 here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Very busy week coming up. Oh, by the way, I'm watching 205 Live. It looks like your main event tonight is going to be Rich Swann taking on TJ Perkins.
Shut up and take my money.
There you go. All right. We'll be back after this timeout. Stay on the line and call us, email us, talk to us in the chat room, tweet us. It doesn't matter. Either way, we will be right back.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
All right. Welcome back to the PW Torch Livecast. We know that you guys are wrestling fans, because, for crying out loud, who would listen to this podcast otherwise? I do want to tell you about PWTorch.com and the VIP membership at PWTorch.com. You can sign up at PWTorch.com/GoVIP, regular price $10 a month, $99 a year. You get all of the audio shows, both VIP and regular, on your PW Torch podcast feed, because, Greg, as you know, there's just not enough wrestling audio out there. You also get the newsletter each week. You can order it in print, or you can view it online. Viewing it online is easy if you have a tablet and it takes up less space in your bookcase. You also get you get everything. You get access to 30 years of PW Torch back issues, and that's a lot, folks. And access to all of our past audio shows. And, of course, great stuff coming up each week. The VIP roundtables after each pay-per-view. The Wayback Playback that Jim Valley and I give to you every week. Everything that Greg Parks is doing, including his columns. Greg, what's your latest column?
The latest column we just posted the other day is reviewing the first season of GLOW on Netflix.
Well, there you go. Nothing better than that. All of that available. Go check it out for yourself. Go sign up now, pwtorch.com/govip. And we're back to live action. Torch columnist Pat McNeil, joined by Torch columnist Greg Parks. 515-605-9345. Let's see who we have standing by on the line. Well, this will be interesting. Somebody from the 765 area code. 765, please state your name and town. You're on the Livecast postgame show.
Yeah, my name's Joel from Indiana.
How you doing, Joel?
Hey, guys, just have a quick question. So it was something I was thinking about last night while watching Raw and SmackDown tonight, and it feels like, and forgive me for asking this question, but it feels like Raw's build-up to their pay-per-view here lately has been really good, to where people want to buy the pay-per-view. And my question basically is, as a wrestling fan, would you rather have a better build-up to a pay-per-view and a subpar pay-per-view, or a subpar build-up and an awesome pay-per-view?
That's a good question. Obviously you'd like both things to be great in a perfect world. But if I'm watching anyway, then a subpar build-up and an awesome pay-per-view would be better. Greg,
I think I would agree with that. If you have the awesome build-up in a subpar pay-per-view, then it feels like the build-up wasn't worth it. And then I guess if the pay-per-view is really good, you can say, well, it surprised me. The build-up wasn't all that much, but the payoff was really good. And I think the payoff is always the most important part.
Yeah, but I mean, Joel, you've got to admit, it's hard to have an awesome pay-per-view without a good build, at least a good build-up.
Well, the thing that got me thinking about that question is how great, Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar's, build-up has been. And I just have this fear in the back of my mind. I know I'm asking about a Raw, I'm on the SmackDown, but I wanted to ask this question last night, just wasn't able to get through. It just feels like SmackDown right now just always puts together just great network shows. And it just feels like ever since the network launched that the WWE really delivers on their network shows and being pay-per-views. But what I mean by that is, do you feel like SmackDown, the just everything going on around it just feels like chaotic, but yet at Battleground I feel like they're going to really put together a great show that we're going to all get to go, well, that was a thumbs-up show. So at that point, if you get a thumbs-up pay-per-view, but yet 2-3 weeks of crappy TV, does it all just kind of even out in the end?
That's a fair question. I think part of the reason that the buildup is you can pick it up after this, Greg. I think part of the reason this has gone so well, this buildup is it's a fresh matchup between two guys have been set up as these two guys have been set up as legit main eventers, and they're getting promo time probably because Lesnar has to do promos. He's not going to wrestle on TV. I think that having a fresh matchup and a big matchup at that has a lot to do with it. Go ahead, Greg.
I think also when you're looking at the buildup, just for the sheer amount of time you're investing, like we said, sometimes it's 2 or 3 weeks of buildup to a pay-per-view, if not more. And certainly that's more time invested. And if it's a bad buildup, that's more time you're watching, theoretically a bad product than you would get for a 3 or 4 hour pay-per-view if it's good. So from just a time point of view, you'd rather have the good build-up because you're watching more hours of a good product than you are watching the pay-per-view. But, that pay-per-view can also springboard into things after that. So if it's a good pay-per-view, it can springboard into other good things building off of that on television. So we're talking about the build-up and we're talking about the payoff here, but there's never a hard and fast payoff. Everything on the pay-per-view will always lead to something else on TV the next night or 2 nights later or whatever. So I think that's something you've got to take into consideration too.
Did any of that help, Joel?
No, definitely. And I appreciate your guys' insight. It's just the way that I especially myself, watch wrestling is I look at it as I'm a huge baseball fan, is that the best baseball players hit 300. So they hit 3 out of 10. But yet we expect, as wrestling fans, to things just be 750 to 100% all the time. And at sometimes the dud shows leading up to an awesome payoff are just par for the course. We just can't expect, perfection all the time. And the thing that I guess I'm getting at is that they have to have a formula that they go by to just keep us wanting this perfection that we expect, because we all know that we didn't really think, oh, the title Great Balls of Fire was going to be a great pay-per-view, or even the pay-per-view Battleground was going to be a great pay-per-view, but they're going to at least prepare us or disappoint us at the same time. So I guess that's really what I'm getting at. No centralized question, but at the same time, just a philosophical question in regards to how we all watch it, because, you know, the way I interpret where you guys are coming from is that you would rather have a better build or a better payoff, so it's kind of 50-50 on what we expect.
Well, you do want to have good storytelling, and I think that, I think that the creative aspect is more used in terms of building these shows than it is when it's finally time, when it's the pay-per-view and it's just time to have them go out, and any stories they tell, you're likely going to tell them in the ring. And as for the baseball comment, you know, if baseball were worked the way pro wrestling has worked, Bryce Harper would be hitting 800.
No, and I agree. And where I'm coming at is just the expectations as a fan. You know, we don't expect Bryce Harper to hit, you know, 800, but we look at it and go, wow, he's hit 350. Well, that's 35% of the time he's getting a hit, and we accept that as elite. And I just look at the product right now, across the board, being two brands plus a third brand with NXT, we always expect NXT to deliver. And then we look at SmackDown and Raw at the same time and go, okay, are they flip-flopping when they're going to deliver? Because it just seems like, you know, sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off, and, you know, looking at it from their vantage point, they may just be setting us up for that every time. So, no, I appreciate it, guys. I'll get off, and you guys do great work.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. I think it's more of a along the lines of you can't have a great show, great TV show every week, Greg. You've got to be, you can't focus on putting great matches on television every week. You got to set the table for stuff.
Yeah, and we're talking about two really different things. I think we kind of danced. I don't think we hit on this. We kind of danced around it in discussing this, though, is, you know, when we talk about buildup, we're talking about angles. We're talking about storylines. We're talking about getting from point A to point B on television. The pay-per-view is a different animal because it's, you know, like you said, it's the matches. It's the one-on-one encounters. It's the tag team matches, whatever. So they're two different animals, and sometimes, you know, two guys who have a great chemistry in the ring, they don't have a really good storyline behind them heading into the pay-per-view, but they can knock it out of the park in the ring. And by the same token, there are some guys who are really good on the mic, who have great chemistry on the mic. Maybe they have a really good storyline, and for whatever reason, the match is a dud, and that's going to bring down the pay-per-view. So, comparing pay-per-views versus build-up can sometimes be apples and oranges in that case.
Yeah, and it's a different animal because, you know, the goal on TV in the old days was, you know, talk the fans into the building or talk the fans into ordering the pay-per-view. Now, I guess it's talk the fans into, you know, have your product generally good enough that people want to stay subscribed to the network, and that's a little more difficult to quantify.
Yeah, absolutely. It was different in the pay-per-view era. Now we've seen kind of WWE taking a different tact with pay-per-views and sort of repurposing them on the WWE network a little bit. And you can kind of feel that in the build-up, and you can kind of feel that in the execution of the show sometimes, that things might be different if they were relying on the pay-per-view revenue of that show to build the company up rather than the revenue from the WWE network subscriptions.
All right, we're going to talk some more about this, and we're going to take more of your calls, 515-605-9345. But right now, we're going to take a quick timeout, and we will be right back.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWT, PWTorch.com/Amazon. That's PWTorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
All right, the PW Torch Livecast Tuesday edition continues. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Greg Parks. Wade Keller will be back with us tomorrow. I believe this evening he is enjoying the fireworks with his family. 205 Live is wrapping up, and it looks like we're going to go to Talking Smack right now on the WWE Network, which I believe is scheduled to have Naomi, AJ Styles, Maria, and Mike Kanellis. So be sure to check that out, or if anything actually interesting happens during that, let us know. 515-605-9345. You know, Greg, we were talking about the with the brands and NXT with our last caller, and I want to point out that most weeks I actually enjoy watching 205 Live. There is some storytelling, but there's, you know, it's not heavy on promos or skits. You're getting good wrestling. It's a show that I think, you know, 12 years ago people would have been going nuts over, and it's just right now sort of there.
Yeah, there's just so much wrestling. It's crazy with the New Japan shows here in California, getting caught up on that. You've got another WWE yeah. pay-per-view coming up. You've got Turnaround, NXT, Lucha Underground's tomorrow. You had the Impact or GFW pay-per-view on Sunday, and then you've got their TV on Thursday. So it's very difficult for me a lot of weeks to find time, you know, in watching all this other wrestling to invest in 205 Live, knowing that it's going to be a dead crowd. You know, the storylines are very thin when there is any at all. And, you know, the guys are just, you know, maybe I'm not giving 205 Live enough credit, but based on what I see on Raw with the Cruiserweights, they're not really selling me on the athleticism of 205 Live and what they can do just because they're wrestling a heavyweight style. It's not a Cruiserweight style that you think of when you know, and it's not just the WCW Cruiserweights. It's the guys you see in ROH. It's the Cruiserweight Classic matches that we saw last year. And it's hard for me to find the time to set aside, even for an hour, to watch guys who are 190 pounds wrestle like they're 280 pounds.
That's an excellent point. But it is something different. There are lots of different products out there. I do want to point out, though, from the results of I know they're GFW now, but the results of the taping from yesterday made it sound like these next couple of weeks are going to be the most TNA shows in the history of TNA. Without giving anything away there, you know?
Maybe
you don't.
That's quite the statement to make.
Well, they're a big storyline for the next 2 weeks. I mean, I think that's, you know. Anyway, just watch it. If you're an Impact fan, you're going to watch it anyway. So be sure to watch it. All right, we have notes up from Twitter, believe it or not. Oh boy, from TP7187. Let's see what. Okay. No, I don't really think I can do that. I don't want to do that one. But he asks to both of us, is Dolph Ziggler consciously attempting to make himself look worse every week? I don't think it's Dolph's idea, Greg, if that's what's happening.
That was quite the unique outfit he had on tonight. We got to see it for such a small amount of time because he was the first one eliminated from the Battle Royal, which was an interesting decision. I don't know if they didn't like focus on it, so it didn't seem like it was going to be a big storyline going forward. But you have to imagine, although I don't know how many more Dolph redemption storylines I can stomach. But he looked like, I mean, he was right out of an '80s music video there tonight.
Okay, better outfit tonight, Dolph Ziggler or Mike Kanellis? I know it's a tough
Mike
one.
Mike Kanellis. I think Mike Kanellis, and I kind of like the idea that it looks like Maria dresses him, too. I think that's kind of the storyline,
yeah.
Is that he's...
I don't guess, know. I think that's the story, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of whipped. So, I mean, he took her last name. She's probably telling him what to wear. You know, she's wearing the pants in the relationship, as it were. So that kind of gave me a chuckle when I saw him. So I'll go with Mike Kanellis on this one.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll find out more about – I mean, again, two-hour show, you can't focus on everyone every week, but we'll find out more about what's going on with Ziggler, hopefully in an upcoming episode or maybe at Battleground. Well, let's really quickly run down Sunday's pay-per-view, although I'm pretty sure that'll happen tomorrow as well. Looks like 8 matches have been signed. The pre-show match is of course, Neville defending the Cruiserweight title against Akira Tozawa, in which, you know, it feels great that we have an entire hour devoted to promoting the pre-show match.
Mm-hmm. Much needed, too.
I mean, every week. Yeah. I kind of like, you know, I think Titus O'Neil he's actually helped us out. I mean, it's a wacky feud, but, you know, Neville and Tozawa, they're going to do well. I mean, you're not going to get a bet. They'll mesh well enough. I'm not worried about that.
That might be.
Let's see what else we have. Oh, yeah. Well, Lesnar and Joe.
One of the first pre-show matches in a long time that I'll make it a point to tune in for. So they've got that going for them.
Which is nice. Yes. The last pre-show match that got that honor, of course, was Neville and Aries at WrestleMania. Let's see. So Lesnar versus Joe, we know about. It's going to be fun. Reigns versus Strowman in the ambulance match. I can only hope that we're going to get some good ambulance-related antics here.
Oh, I assume so. And, you know, this is one where the ambulance match sort of makes sense because, the big angle in the whole Reigns-Strowman build was Strowman tipping over the ambulance with Reigns in it all those months ago. So to that end, I guess the ambulance being involved makes sense. This is kind of going to be key. I think it's going to be a Reigns win here, but how much does WWE and Vince McMahon love what Strowman's doing? And I think if he comes out of here with a victory, and they can job him here without having him get pinned. I think that's what they're looking at here. I mean, they can have Reigns push the stretcher past the line, put him in the ambulance, and away we go, and not have Strowman lose a lot because he didn't get pinned. So I think Reigns takes this one.
Okay, it depends on where they're going. I part of me suspects that with Reigns getting the drop on Strowman last night, that Strowman's going to get the win Sunday, but we'll see. That could be a lot of fun. We have Sheamus and Cesaro versus the Hardys in a 30-minute Iron Man match. From what I've seen from them, this should be very good as well.
Yeah, looking forward to this one. This is another one that I think could go either way. With Sheamus and Cesaro just having won the titles, I would suspect they'd retain here. But I think there's always a chance the Hardys could win it back given the stipulation. 30-minute Ironman match is going to give them a lot of time to do what they need to do. So I'm excited about that aspect of it.
Okay, I'm looking at Talking Smack. They're going over the fact that Naomi's women's title belt glows in the dark.
Yeah,
I'm not making this up.
I noticed that. Yeah, that she came out tonight and it
nice.
Glowed during her entrance. So she's the glow queen, so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. You know, I think that what you said is right. I think Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt is probably the least anticipated match on this show.
There's just, I mean, not only are they two cold wrestlers going into this match, but there's really nothing in this storyline. I guess you'd say Rollins takes it, and probably because he's on the video game cover. So the video game cover trumps all in this case.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Enzo and Big Cass, that should, I mean, at least we'll get something out of there. I mean, I don't know that we're going to get a 5-star match, but I expect both of them to at least show intensity.
Yeah, this could be. I see this ending in a DQ of some sort because I don't think they're ready to push Cass right into a main event position. I think he's going to work his way up there, and I think taking on Enzo in a number of matches. I think we have the one-on-one encounter end in a DQ here, and I think we get a rematch with some sort of stipulation between the two at SummerSlam.
Yeah, you know, that makes perfect sense, because you got to have these two taking it, you know, fighting each other in Brooklyn. It's you don't want to end it before then.
That's right.
That wouldn't make any sense. Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks. We'll get to see exactly how far they're willing to, how far they're willing to redeem Sasha, because she was an afterthought there for a couple months.
She really was, and they've gotten her back in the mix, and they've done a good job of that. I see Bliss retaining here because they never really hashed out the differences between Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss, and I'd like to see that come to a head with Bliss still as champion and try to see her escape a match with Nia Jax as champion. So I'm going to go with Bliss retaining here.
Okay, and of course, The Miz versus Dean Ambrose in a match that apparently we can't get enough of. But it's different because Miz has more guys in his corner now.
That's true. Another one I could see going either way. I've seen Miz beat Dean Ambrose so many times. I've seen Dean Ambrose beat Miz so many times that I don't feel like either one has the advantage going into this.
Okay, it looks like some fun stuff, and I'm looking forward to getting back here with you on Sunday night and unpacking it, Greg.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I think that's about it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody who stuck with us for the past hour and change. Tomorrow, 1 p.m., Wade Keller, Jason Powell. Thursday, interview Thursday with Wade Keller, plus Mike and Andrew by after GFW Impact to go over everything that happens there. And I'll be talking with you, Greg, again this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it, as always.
All right. I want to thank you again. Thanks to all of you. Before we let you go here, we're going to let our announcer man tell you all about the wonders of VIP membership here at PWTorch.com. Good night, and enjoy what's left of your holiday.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the every single day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.